Welcome to Phoneboy Speaks, a short podcast about whatever mobile technology, social media, geek culture, information security, or general tech douchebaggery that happens to be on my mind. Interesting bit of trivia. I actually wrote my my first Checkpoint book back in 1999. That's when I got published anyway, but it was because of Lance Spitzner that I actually wrote the book. And it was because he'd gotten a publishing contract with Addison Wesley at the time, and he got me to help him, and then we ended up, I ended up being the one writing the book, and he bowed out of it. So, anyway, that was, when I see him on the interwebs, I have that history with him, he's doing some great work at Sans as far as, educating users on being more secure, right? Or securing the human, I think is what they call their stuff. So he wrote an article that responded to Bruce Schneier, who's a well-known security person, about the fact that we need to train our users better, right? And Uncle Bruce basically said, look, we can't really count on that. And Lance, I think, Lance basically think agrees, right? But it really goes both ways, right? And myself, right? I realize that training users to do the right thing is difficult, right? And sometimes it's because the security mechanisms that we use are difficult. We don't make security easy. One way that Apple is getting people to be somewhat more secure is to they're putting fingerprint sensors on the phones, and they've been very very careful about how that can be used, right? And so the fingerprint is only stored on the handset itself. If you take the phone apart and you end up using a button that was paired with a different handset, then your Touch ID no longer works, right? So there's a pairing between those two things, and you can only use it for certain things, right? It's meant to be a convenience thing, right? Not going to necessarily identify you, because, and I think even they realize, right, that it's a thing that your fingerprints can be cloned. This is why using biometric data for any form of authentication on its own is a bad idea, because if that gets compromised, guess what? You can't change it. That's a problem, right? And so that's this is a backup to using a PIN, right? Which of course you should do a PIN, but that's but they've gotten people from people who didn't use a PIN at all, right? Now it's like, okay, I can do the trade off of I can use a fingerprint. Right. So I don't have to use my PIN very often. So I can actually use a PIN that I maybe don't use very often, but I can still get in my phone really easily. So it's, there's a trade-off between those two things, right? Sometimes you have to have the PIN. There's certain activities, like when you first reboot the phone, right? You have to enter the PIN, right? It's not just going to take your fingerprint. But anyway, the reason I mention all of that, of course, is because, we need to do better as security professionals and people who create security products, that we need to make it easy for people to do the right thing. And I know I've said this phrase before, and the idea, and by the right thing, I mean the secure thing, which means the defaults should be reasonably secure. We shouldn't get in people's way of doing something legitimate. So we have to really think through how users actually use it, and how are we impacting their usability? Because if we make it too difficult, then people aren't going to use it, right? Putting a fingerprint sensor on a phone, Apple made it easy for people to put a pin on their phone, which ultimately improves the security of their device. They do a balancing act between, okay, so you have to enter your PIN in certain circumstances, but for your day-to-day usage of your phone, because I pick up my phone probably 100 times a day, and if I had to type my long PIN code 100 times a day, I would be very unhappy. But the fact that I have a fingerprint to unlock my phone, yeah, I realize that there's probably some that there are certain circumstances where I become a little bit more vulnerable, but at the same time, I have a strong PIN on my phone. If they don't know it's my phone or whatever, then somebody tries to get into it, yeah, they're going to have a hard time. But it doesn't impact me. So again, there's a security over convenience thing that comes in, and so we have to make. And I think even if you read Bruce's thing a little bit more carefully, right? I think they both actually do agree. Is we need to make it easy for people to do the right thing and secure and as far as making security decisions, which means things should be default, but they should also be fairly easy. And that's not an easy thing to do, I have to admit. And overall, I think Checkpoint does a pretty good job in their products of balancing those things out. But there's a lot more security going on. And so, and because let's face it, we're not going to necessarily make people be security people and necessarily understand all the risks or whatever. Trying to explain some of this stuff to my wife, that's kind of my test case for a lot of these kinds of things, is if she wouldn't do it, then I figured nobody, and she's reasonably intelligent, right? I mean, there's things that she's starting to do now that I haven't trained her on it, but it's funny that she's starting to do these things, and I don't tell her what she should or shouldn't do in any of that stuff, but she's starting to do more secure things on her own, but I know if she won't do something, then probably nobody else will either, right? So I think you have to, but everybody's got to be more secure in there and how they, and do stuff. But I don't think we can necessarily force users to do it. Users are going to have to want to do it on their own. But and the only way we can make it do it on their own is to make it easy for them to do that. So make it easy for people to do the right thing. So let's, that's what we need to do in the industry. Make it easy for normal people to do the right thing from a security perspective and keep themselves secure. Thanks for listening to this episode of Phoneboy Speaks. Visit phoneboy.com/PS on the web for more information.